there is a mantra which talks about peace and justice in one swoop, as if it's a Nescafe with milk, name of fish and chips, that the two things go together almost. I mean, you have to, in one swoop. And my claim is that there is a tension between peace and justice, because in many cases, peace is an outcome of a compromise which not necessarily reflects what is the just solution, yet for the sake of peace, it's a justified compromise. So peace, I mean, doesn't address the grievances even of those who believe that they were wrong, and sometimes justly believe that they were wrong. It reflects the relative power of the sides involved, and it reflects external constraints, economic constraints, power, big powers constraints, and other things. And therefore, peace can be in serious tension with what is perceived, even by impartial observers, as a just solution.
Wouldn't one of the critiques of that be, though, that if you have peace without justice, it's all too fragile, a peace?
Peace can be fragile even if it's just. I mean, the issue of an unstable peace and a sense of being wronged by the peace and therefore seeking revenge, actually, which was felt by lots of German after the First World War. And they thought that they need a second round. And the French thought that they needed a second round after the 1870 war. So either claims of irredentism, claim for the old country's land that was taken from us, and other grievances usually may destabilize peace. And if you can have peace with justice, definitely that's the best thing, if both sides recognize it as peace and justice. The claim is about the second best. What is the second best for not having peace and justice? And the second best, to my mind, is having peace in most cases.
Because war is so devastating.
Yes, because of the violence that goes with war and the disruption of life. What I'm struggling with is the tension between ideals and second best. We think about ideals as summit of mountains. You climb to the mountain, and even if you can't get to the peak, at least the second best is as close to the peak as you can get. But in many cases, there is no continuity on the way up. And suddenly there is a canyon or something that stops your way, and you need an altogether different strategy.
So is there, in your view, any unacceptable peace?
Yes. I mean, namely, oppressive peace. I mean, there are very grossly unjust regimes that dictate by sheer force their will. And there are reasons to revolt against them. I don't accept any state of affairs. But if it's a reasonable compromise, but with no full justice, and the demands for peace are such that you give up on the claim for justice in the future. It's not a temporary now. Well, all right, let me gain what I can gain. But later on, I'll have a second round with you when I'm getting stronger. No, I mean, the part of this kind of peace, the second best peace, is sometimes really giving up on just claims.
You've written that there are compromises and rotten compromises, and you said, quote, rotten compromises are not allowed even for the sake of peace.
Yeah. Rotten compromises are really compromises based on establishing or maintaining inhuman relations and inhuman conditions, violating basic human rights, and for example, I took as an example the Munich Agreement with Nazi Germany, when it was clear what Nazi Germany is about and what they are going to establish.
A rotten compromise.
That's a rotten compromise. But there are compromises which are shabby, and which are dreary, which are not terribly appealing, but still acceptable compromise.
Let's put these theories into some context. Syria.
Yeah. Syria, what happens in Syria is that this is dismemberment of a nation state into its sectarian elements. Now it's a civil war. And the general question and the context is the context of civil war and how to address civil wars. Most of the wars up to the Second World War were war between states or imperial powers. From the Second World War, the ratio now is 5-1 in favor of internal wars, civil wars. The main phenomenon now in the world is civil war. Whereas wars between states take on average 3 months, civil wars go for 6 years on average. 6 years on average. They are bitter, they are bloody, they are cruel, and sometimes it's just acting on the fantasies of what Freud called the narcissism of minor differences. And they are the bloodiest of the bloody, those wars. And how to handle it, it's very difficult. Now, addressing your question straight on. Should you strike a deal with Assad because he can maintain stability or not? Could you make a deal with the rebels? Now, the point is, Assad created a situation of by my definition, of an inhuman regime. There is no question. The trouble is that the opposition is constituted by two utterly different elements. And the main element is, I mean, in the vague sense, Al-Qaeda element. It's not exactly, but it's an Al-Qaeda-like sectarian Sunni militant that wants to install Sharia. And the places that they conquered, they behaved as badly, if not worse, than Assad. In such a cases, you don't know what to do. You have to intervene if you have on humanitarian grounds. For example, make the convoy with food and medicine go through, even come what may. This you should do. Provide people with shelter. Provide them, I mean, in the winter there. But to intervene in the actual war as a warrior, as a sort of siding with one of the world, I think is a mistake.
Sometimes it seems, Dr. Margalit, that rotten compromises may be the only option.
I don't buy this argument of necessity. No, then there is no compromise. You carry on what you carry on. You just don't do such things. There are things that you just don't do. And if you do, you cannot be justified. You may be excused. In justified means that what you did or what you do is right. Although it may on the face of it not look that way, but justified means you try to justify by saying it was the right thing to do. Excuse, you say, no, it was wrong, but there was no alternative. And the alternative was as bad as this one, and I'm cursed if I do this, and I'm cursed if I don't do it. In that case, I can be excused. So the people who ate the flesh of a fellow body on the raft can be excused. They cannot be justified. So there are cases. You can always come up with a case that it's so horrific that. At best, you can be excused. You cannot be justified.
It's been such a pleasure to have in our studio Avishai Margalit, one of the most prominent philosophers in the world today, and so appreciate him fighting through our stormy weather to be in our studio. I can't thank you enough, Dr. Margalit. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.